I warn you, this is a three Bible sermon. Quite literally. yesterday, how was your day? Had a good day? It was a beautiful day, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, yesterday, it was funny because yesterday it was about, I'm going to say 4:35, no, it was about 5:30, excuse me. I was sitting out on the back porch, and we're babysitting our grand puppy, Trigger, and it was really kind of neat because he was out laying in the grass, and it was just so peaceful, okay? It was just a calm, and my spirit had this wonderful calm in it, and it was just really kind of cool because there was a lot of people that were worried about what was going to happen yesterday. And God says he's in control of all things. Amen. And for some folks, we had no idea what yesterday was. You know, what's the big deal? Yesterday was the 23rd. Today's the 24th. Okay, what happened? Well, yesterday was a pretty big happening. A lot of us don't realize it, but God showed himself to be truly the God of the universe yesterday. Because what he spoke of about 2,000 years ago happened yesterday from the book of Revelation. And it was so amazing because God not only allowed that one little sign to happen, and for God that's a little sign, okay? Some of you are thinking, what's he talking about? But he allowed several other things all to add up to show us that, yeah, he really is God. Because there is no such thing as a circumstance. There are God happenings, okay? Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens because God already knows it's going to happen and he allows it to happen, or God preordains it to happen. And God preordained this to happen. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and we're going to look at two very little verses, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, because I want us to understand what did take place just yesterday. And what it means to us, or what it may mean to us. And because to me, understanding that God is the God of the universe is one of the most important things in my life. That he's in control. He knows the number of the days, and he has set them. But only he knows what they are and when they are. So as we look at the book of Revelation in chapter 12, we have to understand that John is where at this point in time, as we're reading this? Where is John? Where's John?
He's on an island.
No, he's not on an island. Where's John? Now you're all thinking, wait a minute, isn't he on Patmos? He's, you know, no. He's in the Spirit. And where is he in the Spirit? In heaven. Okay, he is in the highest of heaven. He is in God's presence. Okay, his body was on Patmos, but John, his essence, what makes him up, was in heaven. Okay, now I want you, man, I got goosebumps just thinking about that. Here's this guy, 2,000 years ago, in the presence of God, and God is laying out, because remember, the third heaven is what? It's eternity. You can see everything past, present, and future all at once. Now, I want you to understand that because now we can begin to understand the picture that's being painted here before John. Okay? Because we see things in a timeline. John saw everything as one giant tapestry happening all at once now. How does that grab your mind? Being a human being, that would have been a little bit more than I could handle. So John's doing the best job that he can to show us what he's seeing in heaven, knowing that this is all happening at one time, that this is the eternal state. Oh my goodness, I can't understand this. I can't wrap my head around it. Because our head is not God's head. Amen? Aren't you glad he is the head? Because he has it all figured out. The toe doesn't have to worry about what the eye does, or what the ear does, or what the nose does, or what the hand does. Because the brain makes all that stuff work. And he is our brain. He is our head. He's got it all figured out. So here's John. He's on the island of Patmos in his physical body, but in his spiritual being. He's in the third heaven. And he says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. And what's that all about? Well, John literally saw something. Remember, this is the book of Revelation. And God is talking to us here about something that is going to happen, something that's going to appear. It's called a sign. God has placed His stars in the sky to show us things, to lead us into things, so that we know when things are beginning to happen. If you would, put up my first slide there, guys. Because this is what was in the sky just last evening, okay? Actually, it happened during midday. Because remember, the sun is out and the stars are behind it. So we couldn't see it because the sun blinds us, because she was clothed in the sun. But John, being in heaven looking down upon us, he could see all this. And what John saw was this very picture. It is the constellation of Virgo and the constellation of Leo. And with the constellation of Leo, we have Mercury, Mars, and Venus that are all in alignment. They are the 12 crowns, the 12 stars above the Virgin's head. And she is in travail of birth. What does that mean? Jupiter, which is called the king planet, which represents Christ many times, has been in the womb area. If you look there, you'll see right there. You see those thingies? That's the planet Jupiter. It is in what is called retrograde motion. Our orbit and Jupiter's orbit are fairly synchronous. So as we are going, Jupiter is following us, but because of the way we move and the way Jupiter moves, it oscillates back and forth. And for the first time in 7,000 years, this sign has come to be that the Jupiter was oscillating here in the womb of the Virgin for 42 weeks. Marion, how long does it take to have a baby born? And some of them just like to hold on a little bit longer, don't they? It's a gestation period. It's a gestation period. And yesterday, guess what came into fullness? Everything happened. The moon, let me come over here with my pointer. The moon was at her feet. Jupiter was coming out of the womb. The sun was at her shoulder, and the crowns adorned her. Now, please understand, what does Leo represent? The lion, which represents the Lion of Judah. Okay? And then we have the other planets, which Mercury, Mars, and Venus have always been talked about as stars in our Bible. So when we understand what is going on here, this has only ever happened now. The software that's out there to predict these things as to when it has happened or when it may happen again, it only goes 7,000 years either way. That's all the further they can make it run right now. And 7,000 years into the past, it has not happened. 7,000 years into the future, it will not happen again. As far as we can see, it will never happen again. This celestial thing that John saw in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, took place. Well, that's quite a coincidence. You know, God, you know, hey, that's kind of neat, God. Glad you did that. Cool. Thank you very much. But you see, that's not all God did. Because one of the things that we don't understand is our God wants to show that He truly is God. So let him who has understanding seek Him out. Okay? One of the things I want you to understand is yesterday was also the autumnal equinox. It was the end of the autumnal equinox. What is the autumnal equinox? It's the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. What's the Feast of Tabernacles? It's a high holy day in the Jewish season. We need to understand the autumnal equinox is a time of year. God uses the sun to speak to the nations. He uses the moon to speak to Israel. And He uses the stars to speak to all of us. So what we're listening to here is God talking to the nations that He has put His sign in the heavens. And on this day, we're in at the equator, it's an equal amount of daylight on both sides of it. Okay? Telling us that God is the great equalizer. That this is Him showing us who He is. But, you know, it's kind of funny because the Feast of Trumpets, that's when we're supposed to celebrate. We're supposed to blast the horns. And guess what yesterday was on the Jewish calendar as well? Shabbat. It was a Sabbath. This sign not only occurred on the Feast of Trumpets on the autumnal equinox, but it occurred on the Sabbath. Do you think God's trying to get our attention? And if you don't want to pay attention to God and you're into astrology, okay, you know, the things of the stars and la, 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 guess what else happened yesterday at the exact same time this was going on? Comet 67P, which was discovered in 1967, it was named in 1967, which is what? The establishment date of Israel in Jerusalem. What? Co-joined the moon on yesterday's date. It was right beside the moon, letting us know God was putting a period on this puppy. Folks, God doesn't do things in half measures. He's trying to get our attention. We are so involved about what's happening in the world that we don't see what God is doing. Okay? I want you to think about this. We don't understand the depth of what's going on. Because I want you to know, this sign, there was a lot of people out there who were saying, oh, it's the end of the world. Then there were those who were saying, oh no, it's the beginning of the rapture. The rapture's gonna happen, and then the tribulation's gonna come, and then it'll be the end. So it's not the end, it's a beginning. I tell you this, it's neither an end nor a beginning. It's simply another season. And it is the last season. Jesus forewarned us. We need to understand that we need to be able to look out there and see what's happening in our world. But we need to see what's happening in the cosmos. Because God's getting ready to do something powerful. And He tells us all about it. So today I want you to look at the book of Matthew. Because I don't want you to think Pastor Rich is just pulling this stuff out, okay? I don't want you to think that, well, you know, that guy, he's so flaked out. He's been reading too many internet sites. Nope. I've been looking at my Bible. I've been giving my heart to the Lord, and He's been teaching us. We're in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And when we give ourselves to the Lord, you would be amazed at what God does in our lives. Why do you think we've been preaching out of the parables? Because God Himself, Jesus Christ, was the one who preached those very parables to prepare His disciples for what was about to come. And guess what He's doing to you? He's preparing you for what is about to come, because we need to begin to be the church or we're going to fall apart. And I'm going to get to that before we end. Chapter 16, we're going to be in verses 2 and 3. In fact, I'll start in verse 1. It says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and tested Jesus. They asked Him to show them a sign from heaven. Now, isn't that kind of neat? You know, when we doubt somebody or doubt something, you know, we want proof, okay? Can I see your identity? You know, tell me who you are. You don't just tell me who you are. Show me who you are, all right? But He replied to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. Now Jesus here was talking about His death. But a lot of what Jesus says, we need to remember God's words are eternal. Amen. What Jesus is talking to us here, He needs to also portray out into the world, because His words can never come back as a lie. Amen? So when we look at this sign, this is what Jesus was talking about when He said that we do not know how to discern the signs of the times. This is one of the signs of the times. How do we know? Because God put it into His word to tell us it was a sign of the times, to warn us that something was coming, to prepare us for what is yet ahead. Because just as the world looks out and says, oh, I can see the storm clouds on the horizon, because they can judge where things are right now, but they have no idea what's coming 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. God does. And God will prepare His church to receive, to know, to be the church of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So when we come to this place of looking at what Christ is talking to us here, I want us to understand something, because we need to look at the book of Revelation in a practical manner. May I have my second slide, Brother Charles? When we look at the book of Revelation, and for those of you who have studied with me, this is a familiar chart for you. If you don't have this chart, please see me. I'll put your name on a list, and I will email this chart out to you. I have it in my computer. It's a wonderful chart of the book of Revelation. But if you look at this book of Revelation, the way it is set up, over here we have the church age. This is when the church age is established, because Christ dies on the cross, and then he's resurrected into heaven, and the church age starts. And then we have the rapture. That's the second part of the book of Revelation. And then after the rapture, we have the seven trumpets, and then we have the seven bowls of wrath poured out, and the seven seals also on this side. But when you look at this, in the center here, there's this intermission. That's what I like to call it. Okay? There's an intermission. Chapters 12 and 13. Because he's talking about the seven seals being opened, and as the seven seals are being opened, destruction comes upon the earth. And then he talks about the seven trumpets. And with the seven trumpets comes destruction upon the earth. And then he takes a break. Why does he take a break? Any ideas? That's a lot to comprehend. That's a lot to comprehend. And he wants us all to understand in the midst of all this that God's in control. He knows what he's doing. In fact, let me show you what he's been doing since the beginning of time. And then he paints this picture in chapters 12 and 13, which give us the fullness of time. They give us the fullness of time. Because the virgin who is born, or the virgin who is with child, represents Israel. Jesus Christ is the child. Now, the one thing I want you all to understand is, if Jesus Christ is the child, what are we? What are we? Where are we in that picture? Where's the church? Well, it's got to be there. Where is it? You see, we need to read the Bible a little bit more. We need to understand God's Word just a little bit more. Jesus is the head of His body, the church. We are part and parcel with Him. We are the child that is being born from Christ, this new creation. Oh, what? This new creation. God created the Virgos, symbolizes Israel. It symbolizes Adam and Eve. It symbolizes the purity that was adulterated. But from it came the Christ. And out of the Christ comes us who come with Him. And that's why I want you to turn back to the book of Revelation. Let this up, Charles. I want you to turn back to the book of Revelation with me again. Revelation 12. That is why some of the teachers out there were saying, oh, the rapture has to be happening because of what it says in chapter 12. I disagree. I disagree. Because in chapter 12, it tells us something here, and we need to understand it in the scope of eternity, okay? From verse 3, it says, then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems, or 7 crowns. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to His throne. There's the rapture. That's what people were saying. We're the child of God. We're His children. He's the head and we're the body. So we're going to be called up to heaven on this great and fateful day. Wrong. Because the fullness of things hasn't happened. But we are coming into the fullness of these things. One of the things we need to understand is you know, if this were the end, and this sign was supposed to be a sign of the end, where was the red dragon? Okay, where's the, you know, flip back, Charles. We'll come back here. Yep, first slide, flip back. Back means back. Forward means forward. Okay, back. There you go. There's no dragon there. There's no seven heads. There's no seven crowns. There's no 10 horns. There's Virgo. There's Leo. Now, there is a dragon in the sky. They call him Draco. And he's like way up there. When I say way up there, I mean way up there. He ain't at her feet. So what's this thing talking about? This thing is talking about the reality that Satan has been cast down. He who is the serpent of old. And he's going to raise up with seven heads. That's the seven kings. Okay? And he's had several of those kings already. And there's yet one to come. That's the Antichrist. And he's getting ready to devour. He's standing in front of him, ready to devour the child. Where's the child at right now? On earth. We're right here. Where's Satan? Right here, trying to devour every one of us. We need to understand this stuff is happening right now on a cosmic basis. Okay? He's showing us this sign because we need to understand that the fullness of things is getting ready to come in. To get prepared. All right? John has been seeing this. Remember, this is an eternal state. This is an eternal vision. So he's seeing this beginning, end. You know, it's apocalyptic. It's not in order. Because in eternity, you see it all at once. It's all now. So when he's looking at this, he sees this and he says, this is what I'm seeing. This is the tapestry. Now, as a person is knitting a tapestry together, do they see the whole picture? They only see what they've completed thus far, right? That's how our lives are. We only see where we are at this moment in time on that stitch. But from heaven, John saw it all as a completed tapestry. And he was letting us understand that God is in control. But now that we have this sign, we need to be aware that there's something that we're supposed to do. We need to be aware that you know, the church age, Charles, flip back to my chart, please. We need to be aware that the church age is getting ready to end. And we're getting ready to go into the tribulation. And the only thing that stands between the church age and the tribulation is what? The rapture. When is it going to happen? I have no idea. God says he'll not give anyone that information. No one know it. Not even the Son, nor the angels in heaven. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. Okay? Only the Father knows the day and the hour. And we need to understand, we're at this last place. It is 11:59, and the clock is ticking. And we've got just enough time to kick another field goal. Now, if you play football, you know what that means, okay? That's three more points. Because we need to get our work done. We need to get our work done. Our work consists of what, folks? Saving souls. Our work of the church means that we come under that place of understanding who we are in Jesus Christ, and we're sharing that with people who are out there. Now, I'm grateful to see all of you here in church today, but I want you to look around at the empty chairs. Many of these chairs should be filled with our own people, and we would have maybe one or two chairs left. But there's a whole gymnasium floor here that needs to be full. And I'm not saying that because I'm a greedy person and I want to build my kingdom. It's not my kingdom. It's Jesus Christ's kingdom, and we're supposed to be the church, all right? And we have a work to do. How do I know that this is where we are? How do I know that God is doing this? That you know, we are at that end and he is showing us that. He's giving us that reality to kind of get us going. He speaks about it. Turn back in your Bibles to the book of Matthew in the 24th chapter. Remember, if I'm going to talk about end times, if I'm going to talk about what Christ is doing, I got to take it from what Christ did and how he taught and what he instructed. You know, yes, the rest of the scriptures is God-breathed, and it is good for the training up of every one of us, and much of it is prophetic. But we need to also understand that he is giving us mandates here. And we're going to be in the 36th verse, 36 through 51, because Jesus is talking here about the coming judgment. He's talking here about the end of the age and the things that are going to come. And you know, I think it's so funny because a lot of people think, well, you know, Jesus really never did prophesy a whole lot. You know, he just told people that you needed to believe in him and la, 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 la. No. Jesus spoke often on how things were going to wrap up. And you and I need to understand that in that, he's given us the directives of how we ought live and what we ought be doing. From verse 36, thus saith the Lord. Wrong chapter, that's 25. Starts out with the word naked. It's like, no, that's not right. 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be at grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore be on alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would not have allowed his household to be broken into. For this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give him their food, to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can I get an amen and a praise the Lord? When we understand this, okay, Jesus is telling us nobody knows when it's coming. However, if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert. Any light bulbs going off? Who's the head? Jesus Christ. He is now in heaven with his Father. He sees the eternal state. He's letting his body know that it's coming. We need to be ready. Why would God have put this thing in the sky and then poof, taken us out of here all at one moment? Boom, gone. Nobody would have learned anything. It's been given to us so that we may be watching. What? Be on alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. We need to understand that this is talking about us. That the house of God is being broken into. We need to see that it's coming at an even greater rate. And we need to spray it or sway it off. We need to be in prayer. We need to be working in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the evil that is going to surmount in these last days is going to be the most horrible thing you have ever seen since the time of Noah. Please remember, we just read that. Because not only were they eating and drinking in the time of Noah and giving in marriage and all that other stuff, but the Nephilim were here, and this place was horrible, for all flesh had been corrupted. Where do you think we are now? And Noah and his three sons were saved. Guess who's getting saved this time around? One. Just one. the body of Christ. Remember, we're talking spiritual stuff here. Okay? We are either one in Christ or we are not. Amen? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. I wish you all knew that, because we'd sing it. I don't know. I know how to start it. See, that's Pastor. I can get things started. But we need to understand, Jesus here is talking to us. And what's going to happen? Folks, this thing isn't over. What does it say here? Blessed is the slave who his master finds so doing when he comes. Because he's telling us, we're his slaves, right? We're told that. And we're supposed to be doing the work that he sent us forth to do. But what has happened to the church of Jesus Christ? The church of Jesus Christ has adulterated the church, because it's been a long time. It's been 2,000 years. He's not coming back. You know, we can really do with this thing what we want to do with it. And we have. We have. As human beings, we're not human. God is the only true human being. We are a fallen image of a true human. Okay? We are sinful man. And we have made ourselves God, and we have put ourselves up on this pedestal, and we have allowed, as the parable of the last one that I taught, we have allowed this mustard seed to grow into this wild tree, and in the very branches of this wild tree, the evil one nests and has made his home. It is as three pecks of flour that a woman took and hid leaven. And it all became leaven, because a little bit of leaven leavens the whole batch. We need to understand, this has happened on our watch. And we're being told we need to start getting it right. We've got short time. Okay? This is the sign. He's here. He's letting us know it's okay. It's going to get worse. Folks, how many of you have ever read the end of the book? How many of you have ever read the book of Revelation? Okay? How many of you have ever read some of the other books in there that talk about the end time, like Thessalonians and Daniel? Okay? What does it say about the end times? Oh, I think this is so amazing. Here we go. This is the three Bible section. Everybody turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. Now, since you all have this Bible, I'm not going to use that one. And since, Bobby, you have King James? Okay. Who does? Awesome. King James. That way I don't have to use this one. Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Does anybody have the NIV? Okay. Miss Leslie. I'm Miss Leslie. Sorry. That's cool. Miss Leslie. All right. 2 Thessalonians. Now let me get there. I have you all turning there and I'm not turning there. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 and verse 3. All right, now, we're going to end with the King James. Okay? We're going to end with that. Hang on. We're going to start. Oh, is my mic dead? Oh, pass it around. Okay. See? They're smart. Miss Gloria. No. You have which version do you have?
I have the second. I have the King James, but she
does. Oh, you have the King James. Okay.
Yeah, I have the King James.
Well, then, is yours the NASB, Daniel?
No.
Who has the NASB? Go for it. NASB, 2 and 3. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. That's it. Just verse 3.
Just 3. Okay. Let no one in any way deceive you. For it will not come unless the apostate comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction.
Very good. It will not come unless the apostasy. Isn't that what it says?
Apostasy.
Yeah, unless the apostasy. I wonder what the apostasy is. I don't know what the apostasy is. Huh? Oh, you'll hold it for? Okay.
Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until a rebellion occurs and the man of the lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction.
What was that word there? The started with an R? No.
Revealed.
No. Rebellion? Until the rebellion, we have... What was your word, Ruth Ann? Apostasy. And we have rebellion. What's apostasy and what's rebellion to God? Hear ye the word of the Lord.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
The falling away. How many people are falling away right now from the full faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many people are falling into rebellion to God's word because it's not God's word, men wrote it? How many people are coming into apostasy by saying the things that God has said are wrong and that he's not God and we'll tell him what to do? He does not exist. We need to understand we're there. It's now. It's here. And Christ is telling us the time is now short. The rapture is coming. This whole thing is going to come into fruition, and we need to get ourselves ready, our families ready, those people who are out there, we need to get them ready. We need to be about the work of the church. We need to be about the redemption of our earth, because that's what we're here for. Our work on this side of the cross is not to mumble and grumble and grope and moan and complain because we don't get things our way. Suck it up. You live in a broken world. Stop being a broken person. Jesus Christ has given us the ability to see, know, and achieve the greater good. If you got a problem with your husband, you're the problem. If you got a problem with your kids, you're the problem. Because you can't fix them. You can only fix you by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Get yourself right. And as you get yourself right, you will be surprised how you living that in front of those around you and being right yourself will help them to get right. I think it's so amazing. Our world is pointing the fingers at everything and everyone, and the whole time the ugliness is hanging on us. If we're going to be the church of Jesus Christ, we have to forget where we are and remember who we are. We are the body of Christ. Are we going to act like it? Are we going to be Christ in this world? You and I need to understand that this great falling away is taking place, and it's going to get worse. Scripture tells us it's going to get much worse. In fact, after we're gone, it gets so bad that when they see this stuff coming and happening, they literally curse God. For people who don't believe in him, it's kind of hard to curse somebody that doesn't exist. That's what I love about atheists. You know, they'll talk about him. Well, if you're going to talk about him, then you have to realize that he's there. Well, no, I deny that there is a God. What? That there is a God. Did you just hear that statement? Isn't that amazing? I just love it. But we need to understand we're not denying anything. Our lives are supposed to show that there is a God and that he resides where? Not out there. Where does he live? Would some of you begin to change your address, please? You know, we need to sign up at the post office and get one of those little cards and say, Jesus lives here, and put it on us. And possibly read it every now and again. And I'll tell you, I've got to do this. You know, you're all, you know, you're probably thinking, man, pastor's really coming down hard on me. No, I got to come down on me. Because if I'm not going to do this, what right have I to even preach this word? Folks, I'm telling you right now, I love where we are. We are at a place where we are going to see miracles happening. We are literally going to see people being snatched right out of the flames of hell if we're willing to share the gospel, be the gospel in front of these people. Because that's what we're told to do. So today, I just want to charge you with that. My last scripture, 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter. Last scripture, and then I'm going to end this thing. I don't even know what time it is. What time is it, Pete? Wow. 1 Peter 4. 7 through 11. Oh, that's Hebrews. Come on. 2 Peter. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. Whew. From the 7th verse. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. What? Wow. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without what? Wow. I think some of us need to read that one every day. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving who? As good stewards of the manifold, what? Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of whom? How many of our words would we literally have coming out of the mouth of God? Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. I'll tell you, folks, I can't preach a better message than I preached today. I hope you understand. God is showing us. He's showing everybody. I am God. I put all this together. I put this beautiful thing in the sky for you all to see. I spoke about it 2,000 years ago through the apostle. And now it's happened. Understand, he is the head. He knows what's coming, and he's warning his church so his household may get ready, that we're not caught unawares. We still don't know the day or the hour, but we know he's coming. So we need to be at watch, doing what is to be done, and doing it in a manner that glorifies God, not ourselves. Don't try to fix everybody, okay? When Jesus accepted me, he didn't fix me. He saved me. He's been fixing me ever since. And I am a work in progress. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come before you with grace and praise, for you have poured out compassion that we do not deserve, and we thank you for that love. We thank you for the hope that we receive from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would pour out into our lives, that we may be able to take this truth, this message, this thing that you've put together from eternity past to eternity present, and understand our portion, that this is a season. It's the last season before something new begins. So, Lord, we just pray that we would be able to end well, because your scripture says to us in the book of Revelation that if we stay fast to the end, we will receive from you the crown of life. So, Lord, we want that crown, and we want to know your love, because you are life, and that we need every day. Guide us, Father, and use us to the furthering of your kingdom and to the power of your glory and might. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.